Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
I'm joined by Thabo Holo, who's the program manager for financial education at Old Mutual. Thabo, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. As we are firmly in December, heading towards that very merry and festive season in South Africa, tell us what you think we should be thinking about when it comes to our finances, not just for now, but for next year as well.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. We certainly are in the middle of December already. I'm sure the festivities have started in some quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But what we should be thinking about in terms of our personal finances is how to spend wisely and to be prudent in terms of how we manage our finances. I know that it sounds like an antithesis.
Yeah, buzzkill.
When everybody is in it. But you must remember that there's also a January, right? And for all intents and purposes, don't that get a salary in December. That's your January salary. So it has to carry you not only in December, but right through up until January. So think about January while you are busy with the festivities here.
You know, this is personal, but I like to think that I think about being prudent until I get home and my nieces and my nephews are there and it's warm and the sun is setting at 8 o'clock, and then you just kind of get into a festive mood and you figure life is going to sort itself.
Exactly what you're talking about. And I always say we all have a plan, and it's so perfect until you look at those eyes. But here's the deal. How do we then learn to draw those boundaries? How do we learn to say, yes, up to this end? How do we learn to remain within our own affordability? Because, yes, absolutely, we'd love to splurge, right?
Mm.
But ideally, it should be within our affordability. It can be outside, because if we don't, then the repercussions are dire, and for quite a bit of a while, those eyes will still be there in January. Those eyes will still be there in February. And more so when stationary hits, when lunchboxes needs to be catered for.
Mm.
So unfortunately, we have to learn to say, whoa, I can't do this, or I can't, but here's the limit.
Okay, I mean, you know, you are here to help us with financial education, so I'm not going to say you being a buzzkill. What I do want to say, though, is you're right in that we have to think ahead to the future, but I think also sometimes the advice that people are given is quite judgy, like, oh, you don't want to be in January, like being other people's problems.
Yeah.
How do we reframe that so that, because also being healthy financially is a part of how you care for yourself and how you minimize stress and how you make sure that, you know, you have a better life.
No, absolutely, and you're absolutely right. Instead of just going no, 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 and going negative, 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 there's always a positive. There's issues around free and how do you thank yourself in a way? But then you can have plan for this. We know that next year there will be Valentine's Day. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Yes.
We know there's going to be Black Friday. Start small. Start now. Prepare him for next year. Put up a small kitty somewhere so that you don't then get yourself in trouble come the time when you're supposed to be spending. Set yourself some sort of rule in terms of how you prepare, planning. For now, we should already, some of us, for instance, are born in December, we've already started making our 2026 plans, and attach your budget to that. So that come next year, then it doesn't put a strain on you. Yes, it sounds negative, 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 but rather now and planning now and start to manage your money prudently, because there's a definite link between how we manage our personal finances and our mental health and levels of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So you would rather avoid the negative stresses in the future by managing your finances well now. Yes, I'm not saying, and I'm not saying people should not enjoy the festive seasons. That's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
But let's learn to set those limits. Let's learn to live within certain boundaries. There will still be next year. So let's learn to plan ahead and put our budget across. That would link to that to the spending next year.
My friends would say, let's learn to have order. Let's be orderly people. Just talk to me about how, in an environment where we're seeing less than 1% economic growth, where consumers are feeling constrained. We had an interview earlier on the show where people are feeling very anxious. People can't afford the basics. And across income groups, people are strained. So even if you are a middle-class earner, higher middle-class earner, or you're at a lower band, you are still being rocked financially. How do you, in that environment and context, plan for next year and the next year to ensure that that squeeze maybe isn't felt as much?
I think, especially for those middle and high income earners who are used to a particular lifestyle, there's absolutely nothing wrong with adjusting your lifestyles, right? If you are used to having a particular brand of drink, for instance, in terms of your soft drink, there's nothing wrong with buying down. If you are used to driving alone to work instead of using public transport, those are the things that you need to consider. Mm. Things like comparing, for instance, we going into school uniform time. There's absolutely nothing wrong with starting now to compare prices so that you live within your means. And I know it's difficult. I'm not naive to say it's not, but you gotta start somewhere. We gotta start, and especially when it comes to saving, because saving is a culture. Saving is not just about money; it's about a particular behavior that you have to learn. Right? Mm. Start small. Start cutting down on unnecessary expenses. Be absolutely clear on things that you need versus the things that you want, and you can delay in terms of purchasing. Right? Mm. Stick to your budget. If you draw up a budget and say these are the things that I need and absolutely need to live by all means stick to that. But what we need to learn, particularly in an environment where the finances are tight, is to live within our means. It doesn't help trying to impress the next person and you are the one that is left stressed. So let's learn to live within our means. Have the discipline to say no, to say, yes, I want this, I'd love to have this, but instead of using your store card, instead of going into debt, rather save up for it and buy it when you are ready to buy. So that's pretty much learning the disciplines of just calling yourself to order in order to avoid the worst that can happen.
Yeah, I'm glad you spoke on the influence of other people, because I wonder what role peer pressure has when it comes to our December plans and when it comes to how we spend money. If you can just take us through that and perhaps how to counter that. Oh, where are you guys going this year? Oh, no, we're not going anywhere. Oh, shame. Is everything okay? You know?
Oh. peer pressure does play a role.
Yes.
But also positive peer pressure. Let's not forget that there's positive peer pressure. You can get into stock sales. You can get into clubs that you can say, let's help each other to save. Let me and a couple of my friends decide, look, next year we want to travel. No, we want to do this. But let's put money aside. Let's put that kind of peer pressure. Instead of you looking at the Joneses and trying to match up with the Joneses, we don't know where they get that money from. And believe me, if you don't earn like them, don't spend like them. You don't know where they get their money.
Mm.
So yes, there's definitely issues of peer pressure in terms of expenses, but there's also positive peer pressure in trying to get to put money together as groupings, so that you can at least support each other in the savings culture.
Mm-hmm. When you speak about that positive peer pressure, it feels as though it may be, I know that people have stock files now. At my former place of employment, we were part of a stock file, but it feels as though maybe there are things that are our parents' generation and our generation and beyond, oh, I think we're called the 1Ks now, are losing that culture. They are losing that culture because of modernity and because people, you know, you've got a banking app. Maybe you don't need to be coming together and putting physical cash. What's the importance of different and past methods that can help us in the current?
And we can learn a lot, quite frankly. We can learn a lot out of it. It got our parents to where we are. Some of us are products of those stock sales. We went to school with stock sale money. Clearly, there's positive that can have come out. Of course, things have changed a little bit. Of course, there's technology now. But if you look at the types of stock sales that are in existence now, there's also different types of stock sales. Instead of just pulling and buying groceries, now people are buying property. They're buying livestock. There's a whole range of goals that people set and want to achieve. So there's certainly valuable lessons that you can pick up out of what our parents have been through, but we must also allow innovation and evolution to guide us in terms of what we do next. There's nothing wrong with pulling money together and use that group pressure to negotiate prices, right? I doubt if our parents were negotiating prices. We know better. Perhaps if we put money aside and we can say we're going to go buy shares, we're going to invest in companies, not just for groceries and burials. But there's other things that we could put pulling money together to achieve in terms of the goals. There's nothing wrong with putting money together and pay our kids' school fees. There's a whole range of other things that we could be doing. But what I'm advocating for is the issues around encouraging each other, that peer pressure, but turning peer pressure into a positive, learning out of our parents and utilizing and leveraging of technology and evolution and innovation to get us into a better space.
Mm-hmm. And how do you then, and I know we're speaking about money, which is a very solid concept. It's a finite thing. And then I'm now going to bring in like emotions, which is, you know, not. Yeah. But how do you get to a space where you're also very honest with yourself, your partner, if you have one, your friends, if you're going to be working with them, about your financial situation and what you want to add to that? Because often there is an element of shame if people don't have, or there's an element of perhaps looking down on people if you have more than, and you attribute certain qualities to having or not having.
I know it's a very difficult thing, and yes, you are right. Finances can be very emotional. Mm. But the one thing that I found that would be working is to de-emotionalize finances, to be honest and really face up to the situation. That one of the things that at least I practice is write them down, write things down, write the challenges that you face down. And if you were to, for instance, have a partner, have that honest conversation, but with something on paper, if not on your screens, but at least have something that you can refer to. But most importantly, de-emotionalize it. Otherwise, you find yourself in a spiral where we can't talk to people, we can't seek help, we can't even talk to our partners. If you look at some of the breakups in terms of relationships, that's because of the finances, and it's simply because we are call it a financial cheating or just not being honest enough in terms of our finances. My view is rather de-emotionalize finances, be honest, write them down, and have honest conversations. You'll find that if you're having those mature, honest conversations with your partner or with even your kids, in some instances, it works out better, and your stress levels might actually go down instead of hiking up.
Mm. Isn't it that sometimes you actually shouldn't be dealing with your own money things, because maybe you are good at everything else, but you're not good at managing your money? You need to go to a financial advisor. You need somebody else to say to you, actually, this is what you should be doing. This is what you should not be doing.
I always advocate for it's amazing how, particularly in our family WhatsApp groups, everybody seems to be an expert on finances.
Hmm.
And my view is use professional financial advisors. Not so long ago, I was talking to people who were dating, who are still new in relationships. That as much as you go to church and seek marital counseling, include a financial planner in the discussion. Include a lawyer in your discussion, because those are become the critical elements of how to make your relationship work. But yes, don't take advice from just the couple that you just met on the street or you had on social media. Ideally, go to professional financial planner that are registered and recognized, not just any and everybody that you just met. Yes, of course, we have different money personalities. There's people that are much better at managing finances than the others.
Mm.
But if you recognize, if you introspect and you recognize that you're not good at this, the best thing that you can do for yourself, seek help, seek financial counseling, talk to financial planners so that you get your financial affairs in order.
And most of the time, you don't have to pay an upfront fee, is my understanding. If you go to a financial advisor, sometimes they take their fees and percentages from your rates. Some of them do charge you, but for the most part, depending on which company you go to or which person you go to, that's not a service that you have to pay for. They look at your finances. You have a very long and sometimes difficult conversation where they look at your bank account statements and the monies that you owe, the assets that you may have or not have. Yeah. And then based on that, they can try and guide you.
Absolutely. And fortunately, when you're dealing with professional, particularly for the professional financial planners, because they have certain rules that guide them, they are obliged by law to give a proper advice. They can't just sell you stuff or just give you improper advice.
Mm.
So the ideal thing is use people that are professional in terms of the dealing with finances. And you're right. These are the people that might help you in terms of facing up to your realities and help you navigate the situation that you find yourself in. So ideally, yes, don't just pick up anybody on social media and decide this is the person that I'm going to give my finances to. Rather, talk to professional people who give you proper and make you feel secured in terms of if anything goes wrong. I know that there's, for instance, fidelity funds that guide that person in terms of things going wrong. But at least talk to people that are fit and proper.
Mm. I'd like us to touch on the long-term plans. But before we get there, do you have tips or suggestions? Because I know you also can't give financial advice. That's not legal. I think that you can just do over the air. But let's say tips that people can incorporate into their day-to-day lives. A friend of mine was telling me this afternoon that he pays, or someone he knows pays, their subscriptions, the smaller ones, on a six-month basis because they can afford to do that. So things that cost 200 to 400 rand, say, they pay them because they don't want to think about them. They want to only pay for their larger expenses, their home, the cars, the family's cars, and the like. School fees, they pay a year in advance. Not everyone can do that. But tips of how to just tweak your life so that maybe you don't have as many debit orders, or you find a way to get breathing room in between the noise.
I was about to say, unfortunately, not everybody can do that.
Mm.
But the one thing that I find that we're not doing is little things such as crafting your budget. And unfortunately, most banking apps or banking institutions, broadly financial services institutions, have some sort of a budgeting app. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you are able to track what is happening with your life. And I don't know how many of us actually go through their banking statement.
No.
Just to check what is in your bank statement.
Just right? Once in a while, but yeah. No.
You know, you'll be surprised that there's those 99 rents that you don't know anything about.
Yes.
The subscription services that you never thought you would subscribe. And those are little things that I know they sound innocuous. I know that they sound small. But if you clean those things up and you get a better direction. And there are subscriptions that you, perhaps 2-3 years ago, you wanted that, but for now you're not even using the service, but you're not aware because we're not checking.
Yes.
We're not checking. So if we can, one, draft our budget and be strict on it, two, manage our bank statement. The third one, I work for an insurance company, and it's amazing how many of us, particularly on a non-life insurance, we don't go back to our insurers every year and say, hang on, the value of my car has declined. Can we recode on this? So let's make it our year's resolution to go back and say, hang on, let me check what is in my policy. Is it still the same? Can I score a point or two somewhere? That you've changed your walls. You've changed your security features. Perhaps your content cover might have changed and it might be cheaper. Those are the things that you can go back and check. So let's make it a habit. When we do our financial physical health checks, we must also do our financial health checks and go back to those policies, go back to your bank statement. And once you do that, then you can come up with different strategies and say, hey, how many subscriptions do I have? Oh, I have four that are costing me $10. Perhaps I need to consolidate this and pay. But by then, your bank statement at least has some sort of breathing space, and you can clean it up a little bit. And even in debt, you look at your debt and say, which one do I kill off first? What is the cost of any debt? So if you were to ask me that the genesis of the whole thing will be your budget, then clean up your bank statement, look at your policies, and once you've picked up where the gaps are, then come up with proper strategies. And if you can't do it yourself, talk to professionals who will help you put those strategies together so that you're able to clean up your financial life. But perform your financial health check yourself. Check if you are adequately covered or you are overcovered. In some instances, you might be underinsured or overinsured. So check all of those things, and if you do that, somewhat you might be able to pick up a few rents and cents somewhere to clean your financial life up.
And it's also a way of, you know, checking the bank account. We were being lighthearted about it earlier on, but when you check your bank account, you can also see patterns. I know that there are some things that we say that are little treats for ourselves, you know, your coffees, your takeaways. And it seems when you are buying them on a once-off basis, which is what you're doing, either every day or every third day or whatever it is, it seems an inconsequential amount sometimes. But when you look at it, you know, you don't want to be too Scrooge-like or too, I'm not going to spend 20 rand or 50 rand on this. But when you look at it holistically, then you see that perhaps you're spending tens of thousands of rand or thousands of rands or whatever amount on something that is not really a necessity and that you could be using, you know, for your December getaway when you've planned properly, for your January stationery for the kids and the nieces and the nephews, or for a treat for your partner or the like.
And you can even read the book. You can actually reward yourself by cleaning some of these things up. If, for instance, you say, I want to lose weight, for instance, but in your bank statement, there's more transactions of greeners and all sorts of things.
It's like you're speaking to me, you're looking into my soul.
Oh, we're in the same boat, don't worry. And you can cut down on those and say, hey, I've spent the whole 2 weeks without touching any margarita and stuff like that, then I can reward myself by getting something else. But at least it will, you're linking your personal health to your financial health, and in a way, still keeping yourself happy. So I'm not saying people should punish themselves, but in the long run, the more we manage our finances better, the better for our health and mental health in particular.
Ntate Holo, this has felt like a masterclass in good financial thinking ahead of our December festivities and our January. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Really appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure, and have a fantastic festive.
Thank you. I have your voice in the back of my head, though. The Program Manager of Financial Education at Old Mutual, Mr. Thabo Holo, joining us there. Just on tips for not only December and January, but thinking about our finances on a short and long-term basis, the positive peer pressure and what we could do. That's where we leave it on Kaya Biz for this evening. Thank you so much for listening. It's been fantastic to be with you as we learn all things money, markets, and more. Pamela Madene standing by at the top of the hour with Point of View. Good evening.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.